God, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful time and worship and your presence, God. Oh, thank you, God, that you are with us. I just thank you for communion, that Jesus, we do remember. We remember what it cost to buy us back, to pay the price for our sins. Jesus, we remember. And we remember the power, the price you paid was enough for all of our sins, all the times that we've messed up. Everything we've done wrong, Jesus, your blood is enough, past, present, and future, for all of our sins. And we remember that. We remember, Jesus, that your body was broken for our healing. We remember that, Jesus. And we are so grateful. We're so grateful for your love that was poured out. We are so grateful for the presence, the Holy Spirit who is with us. So right now, we just ask you that you would speak to us. Give us ears to hear, Holy Spirit, what you are saying to each one of us and to the church. And we hear, we obey, and we respond. But most of all, Holy Spirit, we just want more of you. We want your presence, your community. We want your fellowship. We want your friendship, your mentorship, your companionship. You are welcome. Just come, Holy Spirit. Speak to each one of us what we need to hear this morning. Draw us closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, David's been in this series on Crushing It, called Crushing It, and he's been talking about different things, different ways that we give the enemy a foothold in our lives, that we can give the enemy a foothold in his lives. And he talked about sin. He talked about unforgiveness. He talked about agreements, our words, those things that we have to be so careful with. But as he was teaching, I was thinking, of course, I was focusing on what he was saying, but at the same time, I was thinking about something else, like thoughts were flowing through my mind. I'm sure none of you have ever done that. But thoughts were floating through my mind, like, so if we can give the devil a foothold, can we do things that give God a foothold in our life? Is that true, that we can give the enemy a foothold by our disobedience and by holding on to things that are harmful or that separate us from God, or speaking things that give the enemy power? But then, can we give God a foothold in our life by doing things that speaking his words? Do we give God a foothold in our life by doing certain things that kind of increase his presence and his power and permission for him to be in our life? And the answer is overwhelmingly yes. So today, this is going to be Crushing It, I think, part 6 or 7. I don't know exactly where we're at. I think Craig crushed it last week, I heard, and he did a great message. And talking about how if we seek the Lord, we will find him. And that is a foothold that you give God in your life. When you spend time seeking the Lord on purpose, you are giving the Lord a foothold. And isn't that what we all want? Don't we all want more of God in our life? We do. So that is absolutely true. And I'm going to tag right. I didn't even know because the podcast, I didn't get the podcast. I was going to listen to Craig's message. So I didn't even know until this morning what he talked about. But he was telling me, and it just ties right into what we're going to talk about this morning. So isn't that wild? I feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking something to us. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, I like it. So God foothold. So let me just start out by saying this. I take my dog. We have two dogs, Max and Charlie. You guys have heard stories of our legendary dogs. And so we take them for walks around our neighborhood. We have a really hilly neighborhood. It's about a mile and a half loop. And so we'll take the dogs. And Charlie is he's the white dog, and he's part Pyrenees and part golden retriever, we think. So he's a bigger dog. And when you walk Charlie, you have to always be reminding Charlie who is in charge, right? Because if you don't, Charlie will be in charge, right? And so we always go out of our neighborhood, and we go left, and there's this gigantic hill that you, like, can't talk when you're walking up. Like, especially when you turn it up, you're like, okay, we'll finish the conversation in a minute. Okay, all right, let's finish talking about what we were talking about, David. You know, but we have Charlie and Max. Sometimes we'll let them pull us up the hill, and they don't mind. So we'll let them pull up that part, and then we get to the top. We get the dogs back under control. So, but sometimes David and I will be walking, or me and Rachel and I will be walking the dogs. And we'll just be lost in conversation. And so the dogs, we let the dogs kind of pull us up, and then we don't get them back kind of like in their place where they belong. So you go around, then you go around this turn. And usually by the time we go down, levels out, we catch our breath, we go around this turn, then I'm realizing that Charlie is still like, you know, like my arm's starting to get sore. You know, I'm like, all right, that's it, Charlie, back here. So one day particularly, Charlie was being particularly willful as I was walking him. And so I was just like, oh, Charlie, my gosh, you know, you get frustrated. This isn't even fun. Just run away, dog, you know. You'll come home, you'll find your way, I know. And so, you know, you're just so frustrated. So he's pulling like this. And then it's like the light went off. And the Lord said, Julie, that's what it's like with you and me sometimes. He said, you'll have times that you are walking with me and I am definitely leading and you are going where I want to go. And then you'll have times where you are going wherever you want to go. Yes. So how many of us would say that's true in your life? There are times where are we walking with God, or is God leading us, or are we leading God? Like, who's in charge? It falls down to who's in charge. There's another picture of a sweet dog. This is how I always imagined when I walked my, that's what I always imagined walking Charlie would be like. But it's not what walking Charlie is like. We've had other dogs that we've walked that were like that. But Charlie always has, he has this willful struggle to be in charge. But the question is, in each of our lives, as we walk with God, and as we walk out our day-by-day life, are we in charge, or are we walking with God? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is we're going to talk about walking with God. And one of the first things that we have to settle is we have to settle who's in charge, who's leading. And like we said, some, many times, like the Lord dealt with me, there are times it'll be good, and I'm like, Jesus, whatever you want. I start my day. I consecrate my day to the Lord. God, I give it to you, whatever you want, wherever you want to go, whatever you want to do. We'll have days that are like that, and it's really true. And all the way throughout the day, I just keep releasing it. Then we'll have days where that I'll feel like the pressure will come. And I feel like, you know, if I don't take care of this, nobody's going to take care of this, you know. And I click in, and I got the plan, and I'm working. And then 1, 2, 3 days later, I'm like, why do I constantly have a headache? Why am I gritting my teeth? Why am I not sleeping again, you know? And it's because I've decided that I'm out there pulling. And when all along, the creator of the universe, who really knows where to go, what to do, what's best, where all the great things are, what to avoid, is right there. And he's like, so Julie, whenever you're ready, I can take over here, you know? And so, as we walk with God, let's start out with Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 13. And I had this all really, I just want to let you guys know, I had this message all really beautifully arranged. And I got this morning, I got up, I felt like God, I started just praying, and it's like the Holy Spirit all rearranged it. So if it's all a little crazy, I apologize. I'm just going to flow. Just going to let it roll, okay? Is that okay? All right, let's start with Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 13. This is the Lord's Prayer. And so as we walk with God, we need to know, I mean, part of walking with God is prayer and spending time with Him and talking to God, right? So Jesus said, this is how you pray. And he said this. He said, our Father. Wait, I'll go ahead and just read it. I don't have it open in my Bible. I know that part, but let me just not mess it up. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 13. It says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone sees them. I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they're ever going to get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. So he's not really there. He's not necessarily telling you what to say or like a philosophy. Like, he's kind of telling you where the heart behind it. Like, prayer is not about you and everyone else. Prayer is about who? It's us and God, right? That's why we, get away from everyone else. This isn't a show. This is, he's saying, go away from everyone, shut the door, and pray to your Father in private, because this is you and God. Prayer is me and God time. So turn to your neighbor and say, prayer is you and God time. Okay, so then it says, then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Wow, I kind of like rewards. Do you guys like rewards? Do you guys get, everybody do the Starbucks reward program and you get the free coffee? Anybody, we have free coffee people, yeah? You have all the, you know, this, like those rewards, when it pops up and you get a free something, you're like, oh yeah. David just got the Chick-fil-A app recently. And like, he is all about getting those points and getting there and watching it go up. It's so exciting. So, but how many of you think that stuff is exciting? What do you think about a reward from God? Ooh, that's going to be good. That's good stuff. Like, this is it. All that stuff is just a type and a shadow of the real reward program that we want. All right. So verse 7, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. All right. So now he's getting a little more instructional, that prayer isn't just saying the same thing over and over again. So if it's not just memorizing words and saying things over and over again, there's something deeper that's happening. There's a connection. There's, like, I can sing a song, right? Like, I can sing a song, a Van Morrison song, and I can sing it, and I know all the words, but I don't know the story behind the song because I didn't write the song. I can maybe even develop meaning out of it, but it didn't come from my heart. And so in this same way, we're not supposed to just repeat over and over again these certain things. This is supposed to be something from our heart. So let me just strip away layers of people thinking that when I pray, I'm not good at praying, I can't pray out loud. Well, we're defining prayer wrong then. Because prayer is not having all these fancy words that impress the people around you. Prayer is you and who? You and God. So it's not repeating other things that everyone else has said. This is a conversation from your heart between you and God. Okay? By repeating, don't be like them, for your Father, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. So if he knows what we need, why doesn't he just do it? You know? It's a good question. Perhaps we have a part? Yes, he wants us to ask. You know what God wants? God wants to engage with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. So this passage and this part that we're going to just read is so beautiful, but it's been so, become so religious and like the right words to say, and we're missing the whole thing that what this is you and God. This is me and God. This is me and God. Do I go to God on behalf of someone else? Like, if I'm praying for Hannah, you're sitting on the front row, so I get you, Hannah. Or Mark Francis. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I heard last week Mark Francis got picked on a bunch. So Hannah, so if I'm going to go to God, then I'm going to go to God on Hannah's behalf. But who am I going to? God. Because prayer is me and God. So I'm expressing my heart, which hopefully connects with God's heart, for Hannah, right? Okay, so verse 9, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those are big. That's big stuff, right? How many of you know God has a plan, right? Since the beginning of creation, God had a plan. He has a plan since Adam and Eve messed up in the garden, and he's working his plan. And we are part of his plan, right? So, verse 11, give us today the food we need, or I think the New American Standard is up there, give us this day our daily bread. And I always thought that was like bread, you know, like a loaf of Wonder Bread. You know, like that was when, you know, when you're young, you just take things really literally, that was bread. But really, what I want to focus on is not the bread part of this, but the daily part of this. Because, so we start, Jesus before says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then give us this day our daily bread. So if you've ever done like a major construction project or renovation project, Yes. You know that there are macro, there are big plans, master plans. Hopefully you have a master plan, right? Hopefully you don't just launch out there to add an addition onto your house and just with a trip to Home Depot. Like hopefully we have some things down on paper, we have some measurements and things like that. Like this is a master plan for a house. If you notice, it has like where the electric's going to be. I think it has some notes for plumbing, because there are things that have to happen before other things can happen. And as you're doing certain things, you can't, if you don't do certain things in that place, then you're running wire behind drywall and you can't get it through because there's a stud going the wrong way or whatever. It just makes things so complicated. So you have a master plan, then things happen in order, and actually they happen, you follow the master plan, well-executed master plan, well. Well, God has the master plan, but this house right here would not get built without somebody daily doing the work. So day by day, if you hire people, people show up. If you're brave like Johnny, you do it yourself. You know, brave and a little crazy, right? Brave and a little crazy. Then you go and, but it did not just happen one day, did it, Johnny?
2 years later.
But it was day after day after day. And you know what's interesting? Here in the Lord's Prayer, when he prayed this prayer, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But then he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's this day. So as we walk out in our lives, the things that God wants us to do, there are big plans that God has for each of our lives. But all that boils down into the day by day, the hour by hour, the minute by minute. That's where we live, in those things. And so today, as we talk about walking with God, I want to just strip away all of the, gosh, Enoch walked with God. He's like legendary. I'm sure like Billy Graham, he probably walked with God. He's legendary. And just list goes on and on and on. Heidi Baker, she walks with God. She's legendary. You know, whoever it is that you really admire, they walk with God. Yes, they do. But you know where they walk with God? The day by day, the hour by hour, the minute by minute. They walk with God in those things. And that's not something that's only available to people that have gone to Bible school or people that are in full-time and get paid for doing ministry work. That is available to every single one of us, is walking with God day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. That's where Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread." So, Lord, what do I need today? God, what are you saying for me to do today? What do you have for me today? So I want to dive into this scripture. In John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. Because as we're talking about this daily walk, we don't have to figure it all out alone, which is great. We don't have to walk this stuff alone. Let's read John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18, and I'm reading in the New Living Translation. It says this, "And I will ask the Father," this is Jesus before he left, before he ascended to heaven, he said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you." So as we walk out this daily walking with God, we're not alone. Jesus, he sent the Holy Spirit, the advocate. So let's bounce down to verse 25 through 26. Jesus says, "I am telling you these things now while I'm still with you, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative," that is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit represents Jesus. It says he's his representative, that is the Holy Spirit. "He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you." So Jesus, this is where Jesus said, "I leave so that someone better can come." But Jesus actually says that, you know, and you think about that, like, why, what could be better than Jesus? We've talked about this in youth before. Like, what could be better than Jesus right here? Like, if Jesus opened the door and came in and stood right here, we'd all cry. We'd all be like, "Oh, Jesus, I love you." You know, you like couldn't even stand up. And like, I can't even imagine anything better in my whole life happening than Jesus walking in and standing right here and, like, you know, giving me a hug and being, like, that's amazing, isn't it? Like, what that would be, that's what we all dream for the day we meet Jesus. We're going to see him face to face, you know. But Jesus said, it's better that I go so someone better can come. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is with us. As you know, we know when Jesus, he died on the cross, he rose from the dead. He's on the earth, and then he ascended, and he sent the Holy Spirit. And David taught a couple of weeks ago in on the day of Pentecost. I don't remember which Crushing It series it was, but he did a great job talking about the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. So if you haven't listened to that, I'd encourage you to listen to that one. But the Holy Spirit's poured out on all of us. But does that mean that he's functioning in as, like, at full capacity? So, like, 120 years ago. 120 years ago, if we wanted light at night, we'd light a candle, right? That's what you have to do, light a candle or a lantern. They burn oil in the lanterns or whatever. If you wanted heat in your home, you'd have a fireplace, or maybe, I don't know if that was before the days they'd figured out all the coal stuff.